the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Alongside of me is my dad, usually, but he left the studio. We forgot to record the intro outro, so here we are recording it now. Welcome to the show, and I want to say a special welcome to the audience of Josh's YouTube channel, This Guy Trucks. You see, we sat down with Josh, who you guys know very well, coming from his YouTube channel. We sat down with him on this show, Hammer Lane Legends, and we talked to him about a lot of different things about his job, the documentary he's doing, automated trucking, so many different things we talked to Josh about on this show. But I wanted to let you guys know, you're listening to Hammer Lane Legends on Josh's YouTube channel, This Guy Trucks. If you have a crazy and wild experience as a truck driver that you want to share on this show, Hammer Lane Legends, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. That's hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. Or you can go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach us that way as well. Either works for us. Just get a hold of us. If you want some extra emergency preparedness food, you see, as truck drivers, we're out in the road a lot, and sometimes things happen where we break down, the storms come in, and we're stuck, and we can't go anywhere. In those kind of situations, you want to make sure you have food in the cab of the truck. Go to preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com, and you can get emergency preparedness food right there, and you can get a 4-week supply of food. And if you purchase that, we'll knock $100 off for you right away. Now, that's a great deal, but an even better deal is having Josh on this show right now. Let's get to the conversation because it was awesome. Let's go. All right, today we got a returning guest, Dad. We have Josh on the show, and he's bringing friends. Guys, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you doing today?
Doing good, doing good. Hey. So we have Josh, who was a guest on the show early on, and now we have his friend Sergey coming on because they're working on a new project, and I think you guys just finished the documentary, didn't you?
That's right. Well, we finished the filming part.
Hold on, guys. One at a time. One at a time. I know everybody's excited.
Go ahead,
Josh. That's fine. That's cool.
Sergey was running this project. He was the mastermind behind it, so I'll let him answer that.
Okay.
Yeah, but basically the actual filming part is finished. So we have 2 days worth of shooting. So my responsibility is running all the marketing, PR, and branding and everything like that at GP Transco, which is the company where Josh drives. And we try to show the industry of trucking. Sounds like kind of what you guys like to do in your podcast, through sort of a realistic view to people who might not know too much about the industry. And for that, we decided to film a documentary called The Story of Drivers. And we've done 2 episodes already. And the third one features Josh, because he's an over-the-road trucker with a family. And he's a pretty well-known YouTube presence. So we thought it'd be interesting to kind of highlight that. And the first day of filming was in Chicago. We did that about a month ago. And a couple weeks ago, we got done filming the second day in Colorado, in Josh's home. And now we're just kind of editing everything. And hopefully, if all goes well, the release is going to be around September 15th.
Very cool.
Yeah,
that is.
That's very cool. Wow, that's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, that project came together fast.
Yes, it did.
So let me ask you, this documentary, is it being hosted through the company that you guys work for, that Josh works for?
Yes, that's correct. We do all the production. We do all the, basically the story, and not so much a story because it's a documentary, but yeah, we produce it, we host it, and we promote it, and everything goes through us. Yeah, it's our little in-house project, essentially. Just, we like to do a lot of creative kind of work, so that's all on us, yes.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I didn't expect it to be an in-house kind of thing.
Right.
Because the way I view the industry as far as owners go, companies go, I just assume that owners of companies don't want a camera crew following their truck drivers around and exposing anything that they could possibly do wrong and having DOT climb down their throat. You know? So I'm really surprised by that. What about you, Dad?
Here's my comment on that. You know, we're professionals. We're professional drivers. And if we act in a professional manner, nobody has to worry about anything.
That's true. So,
that's right.
Now, does that sound like a company man? Yeah, it probably does.
Golden boy.
All right.
We got the golden boy over here.
But I've been doing this long enough to actually look at that concept and actually be kind of surprised, because it's a very interesting thing. I wish more trucking firms would do stuff like that.
Yeah.
I really do.
I think it's important. It's an important concept because, like you said, Sergey, we're doing that kind of with this show, but you're doing it visually where it's a trucking company that says, you know what, let's produce something and allow the world to see it.
Yep.
And in doing so, the world that isn't involved in our industry is going to see what our drivers and what it's like being a driver. And maybe in the long run, it would help open some eyes and get some more respect out on the roads. I don't really care what you think about me, but if you can at least respect me on the road so that you don't put my life and your life in danger, that'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is, I'm somewhat new to the industry, honestly, Josh, and you guys definitely, you know, have all been in the industry longer than I have. I did marketing and PR management work in other industries before. I've been in trucking for a little over 2 years, but to be honest, I remember before I came on board at GP Transco, I never thought I would ever be in trucking. I had my own preconceived notions about the industry, and some of it wasn't pretty, and a lot of it, you know, was kind of alleviated when I came to the company and I realized that there's a lot of people like that, you know, around us all the time that have all kinds of different ideas about trucking that might be exaggerated or incorrect, you know. So it's our job, I think, as a modern type of company to show it at the best light possible, you know, and realistically.
Yeah, most definitely. I agree with that. It gives it an opportunity for the public, you know, the driving public to see what goes on, and the buying public to see what goes on, because everybody shops. I mean, everybody's got to go get goods, and you know, they just kind of magically appear on the store shelves, even though during this whole COVID thing, the store shelves aren't quite as packed as they normally are. It's this stuff still has to get there. So this, I really think this is such a cool idea. You guys doing something like this, it is just so neat, and it's so out of the norm of what you normally see in the trucking industry. So it's cool. It's really a very cool thing. Now, I was kind of curious, Sergey, do you drive as well? Are you a driver?
No, the truth is I've never been a CDL holder. Okay. The closest I've gotten to driving was, I guess, back in college, I drove like the school shuttle for 8 hours a day for a couple of years to make money to pay for school. But really, right. No, I'm not a truck driver. So I really had to do a lot of research and talk to a whole lot of truck drivers, a whole lot of people at the company and operations to really kind of get a good grasp of the industry before I even was able to do anything effectively, like film something like that, for example.
Now, is this something that is unique to the company, or is this something that happens throughout the industry and I just don't know about it, where they do film their drivers, do documentaries? I mean, I've seen commercials for my company, but I don't recognize any of the drivers in the commercial. It's all actors, you know?
Yeah, it's not very common. It's not very common where things are not just little short videos saying, come drive for us, you know, we're awesome.
Yeah.
I find it that when you're, if you're at a point where you're, you know, vice president, for example, like me at a company, and all you're doing is telling people via, you know, social media or something else, hey, you know, we're a really awesome company, come, you know, work for us, that only goes along, you know, a certain way, you know, that doesn't go get you very far. You need to show things more than you do actually tell them. I think it's like that in most things in life. So instead of doing that, we just concentrate on showing how we see trucking, and the fact that it's GP Transco drivers in our videos is just sort of a byproduct of that. We don't talk about GP Transco in these documentary episodes. We don't do anything like that. We just show it through the eyes of the driver and hope for the best.
That's cool.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
What you just said reminded me of what I saw a couple of weeks ago. And maybe it was last week. I was driving behind a trailer, and you know how trailers in the back, they'll say, we're hiring, this, that, and the other, gives you a number, website. Well, this one said, hiring safe drivers. And it's fine message,
right?
If you don't have a bumper that's hanging off the back with rust, literally it was rusted through, and it looked like it was gonna fall off at any moment. I'm like, hiring safe drivers, driving unsafe equipment.
Don't worry about the equipment.
hiring safe drivers, yep, that just got their license and don't know any better. So
yeah, unfortunately, that can happen. Yeah, that's why on the back of our trailers we like what it says on the back of our newer trailers. We did like a research study of all of our drivers. We surveyed all our drivers to see how they feel, whether they feel respected overall. That was the main idea. And 96% of our drivers said they feel respected, you know, by the company, by their dispatcher and everything like that. So that's what we put on the back of our trailers because it's the truth and people can kind of see it and maybe get an idea. So that's what we do.
That's awesome. Now, Josh, I wanted to ask you, what was it like for you when you were traveling, when Sergey was traveling with you and you were kind of, you know, being shadowed, without any other way of saying it? How was that for you? How was that as a driver? How was that for you?
Yeah, it was a lot different because you guys know that my format is to just turn on my camera and basically vent my frustrations unedited for, you know, 20 to 40 minutes. And when Sergey was talking about this idea, I said, oh, yeah, it's no problem. I'm used to being in front of the camera all the time. But then the reality of it when we started doing it was completely different. There was a whole crew out there following me around. They'd say, you know, I didn't really like that shot. Let's do it one more time, but I want you to look in this direction while you're doing this. I mean, there were drone shots. It was much different from what I expected. I expected, it's just like when I turn on my camera. And then about an hour in the first day, I stopped and like realized just how nervous I was with everything going on around me.
Oh yeah. I mean, I can imagine, you know, I mean, it's already a job where you feel you're being scrutinized by the public driving around you. You know, if you're driving too slow,
right,
if you're swerving, if you're doing this or if you do that, or, you know, everything is being seen by everybody around you, but now it's being filmed by people around you. So, I mean, that would just put my stress level through the roof. I mean, that's just how I am. You know, I like doing what I do. But I know for me, it would be a very stressful. That's why I was curious, you know, how was it for you? So I appreciate the answer. That was really, really well done.
I think I would be nervous as well because I would be more concerned about the scrutiny I would get from my fellow drivers. Like, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he did that.
Oh yeah,
he's not a real driver. You know, all that stuff. You know,
that's absolutely true. There's a shot I remember we did where I was backing into a dock to get loaded, I think. And it was a very small dock. And normally it's one of those things where, oh, I got this. It's no problem. But then in your mind, you're like, oh man, there's cameras watching, and it did not go as smooth as it normally would. Yeah. It looked like it was my first day back in a truck.
You know, the funny thing is I've been doing this for almost 30 years and I still have days where it feels like it's my first day back. And you know, it's just the way it is, you know, that's just the nature of the job and what you do and all those things I can appreciate because you feel, you know, now I'm being filmed doing this and I better do as good as I can. And that's when, like you said, that's when the screw ups start happening because it's the stress, it's the pressure. So it's a crazy thing, but it's so neat to hear. It's so refreshing to hear, not just see that a trucking company, you know, they put, oh, you know, we want safe drivers, or, you know, we highest pay in the industry on the back of their truck. GP Transco actually cares about their drivers enough to actually put money into doing a survey, finding out how their drivers feel about them as a company, and then advertise that. I mean, that's truth in advertising right there.
I mean, frankly, also, it's not just that we're saints that want to make people happy. I mean, frankly, it's if you're a company that hires experienced drivers like we do, so our average is 10 years of experience for average driver that we hire. When you do that, it's a good business decision to really invest in the drivers because when you hire experienced people, they are able to perform better. And when they're able to perform better, you're able to charge your customers more and pay these people more as a result. So it kind of feeds itself, and investing a lot into the drivers themselves is kind of a no-brainer, to be honest. And, you know, when I came on board, that was immediately obvious to me, at least after having worked in trucking for 2 or 3 months. I saw that if we are a company that's hiring experienced people, we have to invest into people first and foremost. And we sort of spun our whole model of kind of saying that our drivers are customers in a way. So our customer service side of the company is more concentrated on the service we give the drivers. We also have a separate team that does it for the actual customers, of course. But once we started seeing things that way, that's when, you know, turnover rate goes down, positive reviews start coming in, and a whole lot of good stuff starts to happen. It's just it's an investment, and it takes a little bit of guts, you know, to do it. But once you do it, it's pretty rewarding.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. Mm-hmm. And what you said, about, what you guys, you and Josh, Dad, were saying about the whole first day thing, you know, sometimes I back into a place and they'll be like, man, you did that in one shot. All the drivers come in here and they have a hard time. And I said, just wait till tomorrow.
Tomorrow's a whole day.
You just got me on a good day. So, Sergey, with you being new into the industry and kind of having to get a feel for the industry, when you were doing I'm assuming you did some kind of market research on the industry, understanding how these companies operate in it, maybe not just your company, but, you know, in general, did you ever come across the idea of really noticing that the company you guys are working for stands out and far apart from other companies? Like, did you ever look into another company and be like, oh, shoot, man, I'm really glad I don't work at that company? You don't got to drop names, by the way. You can if you want.
Yeah, no, I don't want to name anybody. I'm not going to name any companies personally. But, well, so, like, when I came into the industry, the first thing that surprised me in the industry overall is the turnover rate. It's astronomical compared to, I don't know, almost any other industry. Like, 95%, that's unheard of. So that means if I hire 100 drivers this month, 95 are going to leave by the end of the month. I've never seen that anywhere else, you know.
Yep.
We went to a few expos, like the CC, the Commercial Carrier Journal. Before COVID, they had annual or every 6 months, like a expo where they explained what they've learned in the past 6 months. And that's when I learned this information, and I was kind of blown away with it. And I went back to the office after we came back, and I was like, well, how are we doing with turnover rate? And at the time, ours was at like 20%. So I said, that's really different. In any other industry, 20% would not be good, but in trucking, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So that made me think, what makes us stand out? Because again, I didn't know much about the company even at the time. And I realized that it is the treatment of drivers. It's all these things. But the problem was that nobody outside of the Chicagoland area knew about it. So it's kind of like, if you have a really nice product, let's say we can call it a product and nobody knows about it, that's a problem. So then I had to figure out basically how to show that nationwide in the most, you know, honest way possible. The turnover rate is really what stands out in the way people treat drivers. The other thing is, besides just the actual, you know, human resources side, the technology, I think, stands out at GP Transco. I know a lot of carriers use pretty antiquated stuff, even for like ELD and things like that. Submitting documents and all these other things can be really time consuming for drivers and for the office staff when it's not done efficiently. But most of the upper management at the company and GP, we're pretty young. We're all in our 30s, really. So we really enjoy investing in new technologies and kind of trying them out. And that's really another thing I noticed that really stood out when I was starting out. That was another big one.
Yeah, you know, and that's a very good point. Having people that are of that age group, I imagine it really does make a difference in how the overall process operates. Because if you have a bunch of guys who've been in there for 30, 40 years, they bring the experience of the industry, but they may not bring the new ideas and the things that maybe can help the company transition from, you know, 1985 to 2025. You know, there's that time gap, and it does need new fresh blood. But I think the fresh blood that's in there needs to want to be in there and actually care about being there. And I think I wonder, like, I don't know how old you guys are. I'm 35, and I wonder if there's an age grouping here where I feel personally that people my age typically don't care as much when it comes to the future of this industry. I see it a lot where, you know, guys are more like, I'm going to get mine, you know, don't bother me, this, that, and the other. And it's more really, for me at least, because I talked to a lot of guys, the company we're at has a lot of veteran drivers as well. I mean, it's not uncommon for guys to be there 25, 30 years. And so I talked to those guys, And those guys are more concerned. They remember how it used to run, and it runs different now. And they're concerned about the future of the company or the industry, and they talk about it. And guys my age are more like, just give me those hours, give me those miles. I just want to go. I'm not really worried about how things are operating in the moment. I just got to get mine. And I wonder if that's an age thing, or if it's just, I don't know. Maybe it's just a Philly thing. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's just a Philly thing.
Yeah,
I think
that's probably a good question for Josh.
Yeah, I think I've done a few videos on automation and trucking and how eventually it's something that will happen. Now, I don't know if that's like fully automated. You'll take the driver out of the truck completely. But I've discussed, how automation is evolving in the industry, and it's slowly making its way there. And I get a lot of pushback from the older drivers that say it can never happen. It's not possible. But I think with our generation, we grew up in an interesting time where technology was constantly changing, and it's sort of the way we accept the world as working. It's going to change, and that's just what we're used to. Where it seems like, maybe I'm wrong on this, but a little bit of the older generation, there wasn't as much technological advancement in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
No, you're exactly right. I don't disagree with that at all. Like I said, I've been driving for almost 30 years, and from my viewpoint, I understand the viewpoint of this can never happen, especially from older drivers who are like, look, I got 20 years left, you know, don't play with me.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
just trying to get through it.
Exactly. Just trying to do what I need to do, because at this point, you know, like I'm 52. It just you know, the likelihood of being retrained to do something else is, you know, especially in the technology realm, you know, in the way the world is now, because, you know, in 1986, when I graduated high school, I mean, everybody didn't have a computer, you know, it was Commodore 64. And, you know, that's how we were, you know, there was not this technology boom, and that kind of grew. So that I happened, and moving into the workforce became, I was pre-technology, you know, so it's like everything was still done by hand. You still used a typewriter, you still used, you know, you might have had a word processor, but you didn't just do everything online. You didn't have a phone in your pocket. You had to stop and make a phone call. You know, you had to pull your truck over on the side of the road and find a payphone. You know, that was the beginning when I was in the trucking, when I started. And so things have really moved along. So I never allow myself to look at today's technology and say this can never happen. It's going to happen.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's just reality, is it's going to happen. But now, as to whether there'll be no truckers, no drivers at all in the trucks, that I don't know, because we still have glitches even in just the ELDs. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we can't get the ELD glitchless, how are you going to put something that weighs 80,000 pounds on the road without somebody there in case you get a glitch?
Yeah.
You know, and those are things that I look at from the point of view. But in time, it's going to happen.
It is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And Josh, I'm a very big proponent of this topic. So I'll just tell everybody, I'm a conspiracy theorist, so I look into this stuff. And I, being in the industry, I take it serious when I look into the automation side of things. I do think it's going to happen, and I do think it's going to happen to the point where I think in the future we are going to have driverless trucks. Majority of the trucks out there driverless, but I think in order for that to happen, all transportation has to become driverless. But here's the thing: the people who are developing this technology to do this have the transportation industry in mind as they're developing the technology. They are literally making this technology because they want to change the transportation industry. And so I think what we're going to see down the road, and I don't know when it's going to happen, you know, like technology is moving really fast, but this seems like it would have to, like, this is big deal.
Yeah.
But what I think we're going to have is in the future, you're not going to see traffic lights. You're going to have beacons and intersections where these beacons communicate with all the vehicles on the road, and all the vehicles on the road know where each other are at, mm-hmm. because it's all computerized. It's all, you know, communication. And I think when you hit that point where it's not just the trucks, I think what's the first domino that's going to have to fall is cars, and successfully doing that. But we are seeing the automation. We've seen trucks that are being designed to drive by themselves now. And I do think that, you know, it's going to happen eventually. And I do think that if you're 20 years old and you're talking about getting an insurance, a few weeks ago we had a guy on the show. He was only driving for 2 years in his mid to early 20s, and he loves trucking. And we didn't talk about this on the show. I wish I would have thought about it, because I don't think he is going to be able to retire at 65 as a truck driver. I don't think the industry is going to be there for him. So what do you guys think about that?
I think you're right. I agree.
It's hard to say. It's hard to actually predict when, to be honest, because a lot of these things not only depend on technology, but also the public's perception of safety. So there's what's real and what's perceived. Right. And what's perceived is what affects how people vote, for example. Mm-hmm. So even if technology was all there, which it's not, a lot of it, I would say, depends on things like even proper markings on roads, you know, that the truck's camera would need to read. Even if that was all set, I think it would take a very long time. I don't know if in my lifetime, so I'm 31 years old, I don't know if in my lifetime I'll see the trucking industry automated above, I don't know, 40%. I mean, that's just roughly speaking. But from what I see, I don't see it happening that soon. In the future, probably. But I don't think anybody who's a truck driver today personally will experience sort of a severe detriment from it. Maybe some on a local scale, maybe more on the local drivers, actually, because that might be a little easier to automate. But over the road and specifically, that's tough. I think that's going to take a little bit longer than we think.
And that's really interesting, because I would have thought it would be the reverse of that. See, I thought that maybe over the road trucking would be the first domino to fall, because it's not as much pedaling. My route every day, I mean, I could do 15, 20, sometimes 25 stops a day. And there, I would think that there's a lot of room for error there, as opposed to a guy who's going from Philadelphia with a load to Texas, and from Texas to Missouri to California kind of thing. I find it interesting that you said that, because I always thought of it differently.
You know what? You might be right about that. I guess a lot goes into it. It depends if there are laws that are going to be nationwide, or if there's going to be any kind of local ordinances or state specific. So it's kind of hard to say. I mean, I can see how long sometimes, let's say, the DOT might take to pass something much more minimal than something as major as automation. Well, it's really hard to say, but I'm pretty optimistic, at least from the side of truck drivers having jobs for many years to come. At least that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, for myself, I actually agree with that. I really do. I agree with what you're saying there, Sergey, because I think that's it. The technology is beginning, but it has not reached that point of saturation, or even the point of where you're seeing it on a more regular basis. So I agree with that. Yeah, it's technology takes time. I mean, it just does. Josh, were you going to say something?
Well, what I was going to say was, you know, I don't know about fully automated, like I was saying earlier, when they take the driver out of the truck. But if they ever got us in a spot where we were in the truck, but basically monitoring what was going on and reacting if there's an issue, my concerns with that is, you know, the larger trucking companies would say to their drivers, you know, you're kind of just, you're sitting there, you're monitoring. So how about 15 an hour, you know, and we're just going to drop your pay, because you're not really doing as much work as you used to. And that's my concern. So when Tony said, you know, he thought the industry might not be there when that guy's, you know, 65 years old, it may be there, but I have legitimate concerns about the trucking industry just slashing wages and say, you guys don't really work as hard as you used to.
That's very appealing from the customer side, to be honest, because if the industry can show numbers showing that a company that has more automation can deliver freight, you know, much more on time than one that does not, I can see how that can take over from the side of the customer service. I can see how that would be appealing to shippers and receivers. So, yeah, I mean, that's a possibility, yeah.
That's a really good point. I'm really glad we're having this conversation. And Josh, what you just said was something that I don't know if I've ever really thought about, the idea that maybe because in my mind, I had a hard time connecting from where we're at today to how we're going to get to what I envision. And so I think maybe the middle ground there would be what you said, maybe when, you know, you and I are 60 years old or whatever, that, you know, we have trucks that pretty much drive themselves, but there's a person in the seat monitoring. And when you said that, it just hit me. I was like, well, I've heard that before. That's kind of, and I don't want to diminish this industry, but I'm just saying, from the outside looking in, it looks like they do this to me. A train conductor, somebody who drives a train, like you're there, you're monitoring gauges, making sure everything's working okay, but you're not steering the train. You're just making sure everything's going smoothly so that the train continues to do what it's supposed to do. And if you take the steering wheel out of our hands and you just tell us to watch gauges and make sure, you know, when this alarm goes off, this it means this and you needed to do this or not do this, it's you're still working. To me, saying that out loud, it sounds more stressful than pushing pedals, shifting gears, and turning a wheel. Like, I'd rather do that than have to monitor gauges. And then once an alarm goes off, to make a decision as to, okay, that means this. So I got to do this over here. Because if I don't do this over here, this is going to happen. And I can't do that because everybody's going to die. Like,
you know what? It's interesting because we, this made me remember recently we were, we actually put out a video about it. During when COVID was just kind of starting out, there was like a huge need for medical supplies, gloves, and everything else. So we actually were in the Chicago Rockford Airport with 24 GP Transco trucks. And we were, there was one of the largest aircrafts in the world called the Antonov 124. It's a Ukrainian aircraft. And they were unloading 600,000 pounds of medical supplies onto our trucks. But after that happened, I filmed it and I was fascinated by this aircraft because it's massive. And I did some research on it. And I think it's from the 70s. And the number of people it takes to fly this thing is crazy compared to today. It's like, I don't remember exactly how many. And I will probably get it wrong. And my CEO, Dominic, is going to make fun of me because he's actually a pilot. But I think like six people in the cabin flying this thing.
Wow.
And comparing it to like a Boeing 747 or something modern today, you need a lot less people nowadays.
Yeah.
So you can see the evolution of losing the need for a certain amount of personnel. And yeah, that part is probably going to affect trucking as well, for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, I one of the comments, because I talk about this topic with people at work and in general, and one of the common things that people will say to me is, well, what if one of those beacons that I talked about earlier has a failure and it goes bad or something, and you're at an intersection, you have a big pile up and 40 people die. And my response to that is, if that happens once a year or maybe twice a year and you have 80 people die compared to every day people smacking their kids in the back seat, eating cereal while they're going to work, putting their makeup on, you know, or reading the paper in their Tesla and not paying attention, you know, like I just think that overall the death rate probably would drop with automation, because once they roll that out, even if there's a computer failure when it comes to that, I think that overall, the grand scheme of things, and I think that's how they would sell it to us too. Like, even if there is an issue overall, nationwide or globally, there's gonna be a lot less death. They're humanitarian.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, it's like that with a lot of new technologies. I don't know if you remember when electronic gauges in cars were becoming a thing and people were afraid of electronic display failure. Right. But all you need to do is really look at the data, and then you learn that gauges actually fail much more often than LED, LCD screens. It's just, we for some reason assume certain things to be true, but then when we look at the data, it's usually surprising. And I think that's what we'll end up seeing with what you're describing too.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. Yeah. I love talking this stuff.
It's fascinating, and isn't it?
Josh, I'm really glad you brought it up, man. Now, I'll tell you what, guys. Josh, you talked about the whole monitoring thing and the automation. You mentioned about seeing all these cameras around you for this documentary and how it was different for you. It reminded me of when we talked to Todd Dewey. He's one of the guys that was on the TV show Ice Road Truckers. And he was talking about the same thing that you said, man, that like sometimes he would do something and the camera crew didn't catch it. And they'd say, can you do that again? Like even to the can you get out of the truck again the way you did, because it'd be great for the promo or something. And so he'd have to redo stuff and try to make it look natural. So I kind of understood where you're coming from, just because I heard that before from somebody else who's been filmed and stuff. But the whole reason, maybe not the whole reason, but a launching point for this whole idea of filming you while you drive is that you do have a YouTube channel. I want to drop the YouTube channel, but we didn't do it in the beginning. It's called This Guy Trucks, which is such a unique name, by the way. Like, most people are like, you know, I got to find a clever name like Hammer Lane Legends or, you know, or you know, Fifth Wheel Pulling or something. Like, you just say, hey, This Guy Trucks, you know, and it's it took off. And when we talked to you the first time on the show, you had like 2,000 subscribers, and now you're up to almost 50,000. And there's a reason for that. And I want you to tell this story on the show, because this video of yours was out for a year or so and it didn't have much traction. All of a sudden it got traction, went viral, millions of views. And when I watched the video, I was like, holy crap, I wish I would have known this story ahead of time, or else I would have had to tell it on the first time around. I'm glad I got you back. Please tell us that story, man.
Okay. First of all, that's
like a half hour video, so I'll probably try to summarize a little bit. Just to get to your point, this guy Trucks is actually a wordplay on something else. It's probably not appropriate for your podcast, but
we can imagine.
It's just a wordplay. I was sitting in my truck one day because I had a very generic name for my channel. I said, I need something that just pops and says what I do. And then I had thought of this common internet term, and I went, yeah, I don't do that other thing because I'm always trucking. So this guy Trucks, and it just kind of took off for me. I really like that.
Father, forgive us of our sins.
Yeah. I won't say it because you guys are so much more clean and polite than I am.
Only when the mics are on. When the mics are on.
Hey, you guys are professionals. So I had this video. I was a over-the-road trainer for Butler, a refrigerated company out of Kansas City. And I'm very naive to the world around me. I assume everybody's trying to be a good person and trying to do better for themselves. And I had just trained a guy. I was really happy. The guy got out and got in his own truck. He had come from a bad neighborhood in Baltimore, and he went through his training. And actually, when he got issued his truck, he called me. This guy called me crying, like, dude, you've changed my life. I finally get to leave Baltimore, right? And I was so excited for that. And I got my next trainee issued to me that night. And this guy was supposed to meet me in our terminal in Kansas City. And he never showed up. So I called him and I said, hey, man, I'm down at the terminal. When are you going to be here? We need to get some sleep because I'm rolling out about 3 or 4 in the morning. And he just starts screaming at me about, why would I come down the terminal and sleep in your truck when I've got my own bed? I didn't know the guy lived in Kansas City, because in over-the-road trucking, it's not always common to live in the city where the terminal is located, right?
Right.
I had no idea that he lived there, and he's just screaming at me. I'm like, oh, you know what? I think I'm just going to leave early, and when I get down the road, I'll call my dispatcher and say, hey, the guy didn't show up. I put him with another trainer. And I actually ended up sleeping in that next morning, so about 5 in the morning, the guy calls me, and he says, hey, I'm coming down. I'm going to meet with you. And I'm like, oh, no, I should. I had this just horrible feeling. I should have left like 2 hours earlier, and blamed it on him and just went on about my way. Right. And I didn't. I slept through my alarm that morning and put this guy in my truck. And long story short, the guy was just insane. He was just out of prison, which I'm, like I said, I'm kind of naive to the world around me, and I just assumed he's trying to do better for himself, and he wasn't. the guy was just out of his mind. Like, our very first time we got on the interstate right out of our terminal, he's just punching my steering wheel and screaming at traffic because they wouldn't move, because he wanted to move over a lane. And he's like, they won't move. And he's like losing his mind. And I said, well, have you considered turning on your blinker? Then they'll know that you want to move over. Like, let's start there before we start screaming at people. Right. And, I mean, the guy was just very intense. I know one time we were driving through, I think, Indiana, and he was driving the truck, and he just like looked over and just stared at me, just this dead stare. And he's just staring at me on an interstate. And he holds down the brake pedal and brings the truck to a complete stop on the interstate while staring at me, right? And I looked at him. I'm like, dude, what's going on? And he's just staring. And I, like, snap my fingers in his face. I'm like, bro, what is happening right now? And he just, like, snaps out of it. And he goes, oh, I forgot which pedal I was supposed to push. And then just starts driving like nothing happened.
Wow.
It was very, very strange. Geez, what else was in that story? There was a lot more to it. He was just very hostile all the time. Do you remember anything from that story, Tony, that kind of stands out?
I remember how it ended and how that whole thing went. I think you were at the truck stop, right?
Well, I was... okay, so the night before, I had stopped letting the guy drive the truck because he was just very dangerous and wasn't receptive to the information I was giving him. And I stopped letting him drive the truck. So he would sleep in the passenger seat all day, and he would snore very loudly, which I don't go after guys for snoring. That's more of a medical condition. That's not their personality. Right. But I remember I was going to bed later that night and he jumped up on the top. Well, no, he was okay. So he was sitting in the driver's seat and he was just turning the key on and off for like an hour. Like he would turn on the radio for a while and roll down windows and roll up windows. And then he would just turn it off. And then he would do that like over and over. And I was laying back here and I'm like, I finally told him, I said, dude, I need to go to sleep. I don't know about you, like you sleep in the passenger seat now, but I got stuff to do tomorrow. I needed to turn that radio off. And the guy just stared at me and he goes, I thought you turned it on. And I like got really mad. I said, dude, you're the one up there turning on the key. Like I'm back here trying to sleep. And eventually I got to sleep and I woke up at some point in the night. He's sitting in the passenger seat just staring at me while I'm sleeping. What is going on here? And I got up. I told him, I said, you need to go to bed. You need to get some sleep. And he jumped up on the top bunk and then he just started snoring loudly again. And I jumped out of the truck in this truck stop and I'm just like screaming something and I slammed the door shut. I actually slept on the floor of a truck stop shower that night because I was so creeped out that he was staring at me.
Right? Wow.
So I just went in and I paid for a shower and I went to sleep on the floor. But I got up the next day. Well, yeah, it was very strange. I got up the next morning and got in the truck and, you know, told him to get off the top bunk because we can't have him up there sleeping in the top bunk while I'm driving. And I'm driving down the road and it's still kind of dark out. And I looked over just kind of out of the corner of my eye and the dude's just sitting there staring at me. I'm like, this is weird, man. This is creeping me out. So I had actually pulled into a truck stop. Like I was communicating with my dispatch through text very stealthily while he was like taking naps throughout the morning. Like I need this guy off my truck and I needed to get them on the phone. So I pulled into a truck stop and I was like, hey, dude, do you need to get a shower? I'll cover it for you. And he's like, yeah, okay, I'll get a shower. And we went into the truck stop and I handed them my Love's card so they could, you know, do the shower. And the lady handed it back to me. She goes, there's no showers on this card. And I looked at the card. I'm like, wait, this is a brand new card. You know how they get beat up in your wallet, right? I'm like, this is a brand new card. Like none of this makes sense right now. So I looked at the guy. I'm like, dude, where's my Love's card? And he's like, he reaches in his wallet and he goes, oh, those must have got swapped somehow. And I was very confused by it. I took my Love's card back from him that was in his wallet. And I covered his shower and I'm walking back to the truck stop and it all like hit at one time. I'm like, wait, is that what the guy was doing while he was staring at me? Because my wallet's only out of my pocket when I'm asleep, right? Is that what he was doing when I was sleeping and he was staring at me? Was he holding my wallet? Was he going through my stuff? What else does he have? What's going on, right? What is going on right now? And I'm walking back to the truck. You guys ever have one of those moments where you didn't realize what was going on and it all hits you at one time?
Yes, sir.
Oh my God, what is going on? And I was like, really, like all the weird stuff that was going on, like him watching me sleep, for some reason didn't bother me until I went, wait, he's going through my wallet when I'm sleeping? That's very weird.
Yes,
and man. I was on the phone with my safety department throwing all his stuff on the parking lot of the truck stop, just throwing his stuff out there. And they were telling me, they said, you have to hand it to him. I said, there's no way I'm handing it to this guy. Because I'm a small dude. I'm like, you know, 5'6". I was like maybe 130 pounds at the time. This dude's well over 6 feet, like got to be 300 pounds. You know, I'm like, if he gets a hold of me, I'm done. Right. So I'm throwing all the stuff out and they said, you have to hand it to him. I said, absolutely not. He's not getting back in this truck. I'm not making any kind of contact with him. I will wait until he's walking out of the truck stop. I'll point to his stuff on the ground and I'm just going to drive away. And I looked up as I was throwing his stuff out and this big guys charging across the truck stop parking lot, just screaming at me because somebody else from the safety department was calling him saying, you're not getting back on that truck. You stole from a driver. We don't allow that. And he's just screaming at something on me. And I've never moved so fast in my life. I jumped in the truck and I locked the doors and I just drove away and I got on the interstate and it was like very emotional because I'm like, I wonder how close I actually was to being murdered by this guy.
Yes, exactly.
And the funny thing about the video, well, there's a couple funny things. People watch it and go, dude, this is the funniest story I've ever heard. No, it was terrifying. There's nothing funny about that video. But I had started recording as soon as I got on the interstate when I dropped him off. And I'm just staring at the camera. My eyes are all wide. I hadn't slept in like 2 days, right? And I'm just like, just terrified out of my mind telling the story. And the video sat there for like a year and a half with like 2,000 views. And then it just went insane one day. And it's well over 1 million now.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's 1.3 million views.
1.3?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I didn't know this, but you recorded that video that went viral right after the incident was over?
Yeah, yeah. I had just gotten out of my truck, wow. And I was like, I was still kind of shaking. And I'm like, I just need like to vent somehow. I was already doing YouTube videos, but my channel was very small at the time and really no one watched. But I'm like, I just need to vent for a little bit. And I went off for about a half hour, and a year and a half later, YouTube rewarded me for, you know, almost being murdered in my truck.
Well, that's lightning in the bottle itself, because YouTube rewarding anybody is hard to come by these days.
Yeah, it is.
But no, I take that comment back, YouTube. I know that this interview is going to be going on Josh's channel, so I take that comment back. Please bless this video like you blessed his.
So. You know, I got to say, I mean, that is a fascinating story, because it really leads to, this is what the industry, this is the bad side of the industry. This is some of the stuff that you wind up putting up with in the industry as a driver. These are some of the crazy things that can happen. Yeah. I mean, just sitting there and you're driving and some guy's sitting there staring at you. And then when you go to bed, the same guy's sitting there staring at you. It's like, that's just a creep factor. Right. That's out of this world. I mean, that's just weird. But I mean,
you know,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, to go really deep on that, I always wonder about that. And I don't know that we've got the time to even discuss it today, but the trucking industry doesn't attract the best people.
Right.
And I always wonder why. Is it a failure on the drivers, or is the industry failing so bad that they just attract people like that? I just don't know.
Yeah. You know, that
would have to be another show altogether.
I guess it would be. But, you know, I mean, kind of speaking to that, I wanted to ask Sergey a little while ago, does the industry that, you know, with you, with the company you guys are with, GP, and I was just curious if you guys notice the difficulty in finding drivers to hire. I mean, I know you guys have a really, you're talking about the standard that you guys do. You have 10 years of experience and all of those, and those are great. And I was just curious how, because I mean, that's all you hear anymore is that we can't hire drivers. We hear it at our company all the time. You know, they're having a hard time getting drivers. And, our company pays pretty well. I mean, they still cover our benefits. They pay us well. You know, I feel like they take care of us. And I've been there for 22 years and I feel like they take care of us. And I was just curious if you guys have that same problem with the company you guys are with.
Well, it's I'm not going to say that hiring and finding qualified drivers is easy, but we've been pretty fortunate in the last 2-3 years, to be honest. We do things a little differently when it comes to kind of putting ourselves out there. We participate in a lot of different social media and all kinds of different things that a lot of trucking companies just don't want to invest in, or they're nervous about doing it because they don't want to expose too much of what they do. But we kind of said, you know, the heck with all that. We're going to be straightforward and honest. We know we don't really have any skeletons in our closet. You know, we don't really have anything to hide. So we might as well put everything out there. And when you do that, and I mean, on top of that, you have to pay people, right? Well, for their job.
Yeah,
so if you're paying people well, if you respect them when they're coming on board, you don't BS them on the recruiting call. You tell them exactly what, you know, what's going to happen when they come on board. If they're going to be out on the road OTR 3 weeks, you're not going to tell them two. You're going to tell them three. You're going to under-promise and over-deliver. And as long as you do that, and as long as you promote these things in an honest way in modern places where people are coming to look, it's not too bad, to be honest. So it's harder for some companies, but we get about 90% of the drivers that apply to drive with us find us organically, which means they just heard about us somewhere online and didn't respond to some kind of a paid ad, you know. And we try to keep it that way, and that's why we were so excited when Josh was coming on board, because some people told us, like, are you sure you want a well-known YouTuber to drive for your company? and without us as a company having any say onto what he can and cannot say. And it's a little scary, but it really is worth it, because if you do what you say you're going to do, if you're going to treat people well, and you have someone like Josh working with you, if he likes it, he might talk about it, and it just makes everybody's day better. And as a result, people can find a job they enjoy. Really, it's about spreading honest information in the right places. If you do that right, then there should not be too much of an issue hiring good drivers. We love it.
Yeah, and that's I agree with you 100%. And that's something that I was kind of thinking about too. I was thinking, how does the company react to the driver coming to them, applying to a job, and them being a well-known YouTuber? Josh, did you tell them up front, like, hey, I do YouTube videos, I'm a well-known YouTuber, you're going to have to be okay with that if I do work for you? How'd that whole conversation come about?
That's actually a really interesting story, I think. I had, because last time I talked to you guys, I was a local driver. But the company I had worked at had a lot of GP Transco trailers coming into there. And I noticed they have nice trucks, but you guys know how that is with nice trucks. Don't go work for a company because they have nice trucks.
Exactly.
I've been duped by that before. but I would see them come in and out, and I saw their advertisements for their pay and things like that, which the pay seemed kind of high for a dry van. And I was a skeptic. So I went and looked up their company. I'm like, well, that's the information they have. And what I did was I made a video discussing GP Transco, because I found I was a little bit fascinated by how modern they felt. But little did I know, I didn't realize how modern they actually were, because I had put out that video and I woke up the next day and had almost a novel written in my comments from Sergey at GP Transco about the points I went through. He went through point by point and addressed what I was talking about. And I found it interesting that a company commented on my video. And that was, the channel was very small then, right around 3,000 subscribers. And because he took the time to do that, and then he also emailed me with their recruiting information, I then went on to make like a 40-minute video about all their employee benefits, things of that nature, based on the information he gave me. And I found it all to be very interesting. But then the channel grew after that immensely. And I thought for the channel, I could only go so far as a local driver. And I better get back on the road if I'm going to keep this channel going the way it is, because that's where the stories come from. It's the road. Local, you can only get so many stories.
Yep.
And I said, well, GP Transco's been talking to me. They would show up in my live streams. Hey, when are you going to come work for us? And I said, I'm going to go ahead and apply. And I did. And I emailed Sergey and said, hey, I've applied. Let's go through the process and see where it goes. But, sort of to Sergey's point about a modern company, this is very modern and very streamlined over here. And I'm actually pretty excited to be able to put that information out. Just a quick example, a lot of the over-the-road companies use the old Qualcomm system, where for one load, you'll get like 30 messages and you've got to navigate what you're even supposed to do with that. And the whole dispatch system here is done on your cell phone. It's very streamlined. It's one push of a button and you've got your pickup location and appointment, and your drop off location and appointment, and everything in between those things is your business. And I love everything about that. It's just very streamlined and you just do your own thing here.
Yeah. That is awesome. That really is. And you know, that actually really speaks to, you know, like Sergey and the people in the office. I mean, him being, you know, 31, and I imagine you had said that most of the people you work with are younger. Is that correct, Sergey?
It's about right, but I think it's not just the age. I think it's, and it sounds kind of weird when you say it, because I think there's this notion that if you're going to run a trucking company, all the upper management and the CEO and everybody would have had to have been a trucker at some point. And that's kind of like
that's
thing that
school.
People often say. Right. And what I know about trucking is, from my experience, trucking is, you know, 5 to 7 years behind in all these different ways.
Yes.
So technologically, in some ways, so if you look at like transportation management systems that are typical that trucking companies use, a lot of them are very IBM style, not IBM, but like that old school in-house server you know, massive monster of a system that nobody can figure out.
Right.
Most industries don't do that anymore, but that's the case in trucking. And it's also the case with human resources, with social media, with promotion, with the way safety is managed, all these different things. So the fact that most people at GP Transco who started, well, people that started the company, they were like me. They did not come from trucking originally. They came from other industries, from IT, from finance. Our CEO actually was a pilot, and he worked in aviation before that. And those are all modern industries. So all these people were able to say, okay, let's evaluate what we see about trucking. What do we like? And then what can we take from industries that we know and bring it into this kind of older industry into a different kind of company? So I think it's not the age of the upper management. It's their experience with industries that are a little more up to date. And as a result, it's kind of easier for us now to stand out, because in most type of industries, a lot of these things, you know, cloud technologies, a mobile app for, you know, employees to use for different things, it's kind of expected. But when it's in trucking, people are actually impressed. So
yeah,
it's pretty fun this way.
It really is. And I mean, what you're saying and stuff, I mean, it really sounds to me like GP Transco is the, like, laying the path for the future of trucking industry and how the relationship between the driver and the company can exist in a modern era. And that's that's really cool to hear. It's really it gives me like, after talking to you guys, after this last 50 minutes of talking to you guys, I really feel positive about the future of the industry if companies can kind of step outside the old way of doing things and step into the new way of doing things, and be okay with pursuing and trying new things that they never did before. I know it's hard in the industry, because you do have a lot of people who've been in the industry forever, and you've always done it one way,
yes,
and it worked that way. But we are living in 2020, where the world is upside down,
right?
And things, it's okay to just do the opposite of what you always did, because the world is opposite than what it has always been. And so why not do something different and see if it hits? Because it sounds like GP Transco has been changing things up in a very positive direction, and it seems like it's working. I mean, what do you think, Dad?
Oh, I think it's true. And you know, I'm sitting here while you're talking, and I'm thinking of a very old commercial for a car company. It was, "This is not your father's Oldsmobile."
Yes.
And it's kind of like the trucking industry. The trucking industry needs to wake up to that. This is not your father's trucking industry anymore. This is not, I mean, it's not that it's a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean it. I think it's fantastic what GP is doing. You know, that is what we need to do. We need to bring this industry into the modern times, into today, into 2020, and not be sitting back in 1985 saying, well, this worked then, we should just keep doing this, you know? Yeah, it doesn't work anymore. It really doesn't. So it is exciting to actually listen to someone in the trucking, the same industry I'm in, actually have a forward-thinking idea and a company that's looking forward like that. I think it's fantastic.
I think it's been refreshing as well, because Sergey, I think you're probably the first person we've had on the show that isn't coming from behind the steering wheel,
right?
And you're sharing your perspective from the other side of it, and it gives me, as a guy who has only experience behind the wheel, hope for the future of the industry. Whether it's trucks driving themselves and I'm monitoring, or I'm actually driving the truck, it gives me hope, because the fact of the matter is, whether I'm monitoring a truck or I'm actually driving the truck itself, the relationship between the employee and the employer and the people in the offices is always going to be there. And I think what you guys are doing is just, I think it's fantastic. And I'd like to thank you guys for coming on the show. And before we get out of here, two things. One, I want to drop the name of Josh's channel again for our listeners, which is This Guy Trucks. This Guy Trucks on YouTube. You can also hit him up on Twitter at This Guy Trucks. And guys, what's the name of the documentary? Where can people see it?
Yeah, so the documentary is called The Story of Drivers. The best place to see it is on GP Transco's YouTube channel. Josh himself is going to post it on This Guy Trucks, and also gptransco.com. We have a section of the site called GP Studios, where we put out all the creative video work that we do. So that's a really good place to see and check out the previous two episodes, the one coming mid-September, and also, you know, all the other different types of things that we've done over the last few years.
Yeah, I did a quick Google search for you guys while you were just talking a little bit. And when I shouldn't say Google, DuckDuckGo. I don't use Google because I'm a conspiracy theorist. So I did a quick search for just GP Transco, and it shows you, the first thing is the website, and then it shows me some videos. And the first thing that pops up is Q&A, This Guy Trucks, Trucking Answers, GP Transco. The second one is Team Highlights, Sergey Bort, GP Transco. And then the next one is the video of the plane you were talking about, 600,000 pounds of medical cargo. And so people can check that stuff out. Listen, guys, I appreciate you coming on the show. I appreciate you talking about the documentary. And I think this was a fun, good, informative conversation that many different directions, but I think it was good.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. Thank you guys for having me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate it. That's sort of the standard format on my channel, every direction.
Yep. And we really do appreciate it. I appreciate your time, that you guys took the time to talk with us. And it's really cool to hear some of the things from behind the scenes and of the documentary and actually talk to somebody like Tony said, who's not been a driver. For me, as an older driver, that for me has been really helpful, because, I've been one of those guys who's been guilty of, my dispatcher, he's never driven a truck. He doesn't know what we go
through. What does he know?
Exactly. So it was really refreshing for me to hear your point of view, Sergey, and hear what you guys are doing. And I really appreciate both your times. Josh, thank you so much for coming back and spending time with us. And Sergey, thank you so much for your time and all the efforts that you guys are doing. And again, check out This Guy Trucks. And we'd love to talk to you both again at some point. I mean, really.
Yeah,
I'd love to. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, please share the show with your friends. We don't care who your friends are, where your friends are. Just share the show. It could be at a truck stop, a break room, or at your grandparents' house. I don't freaking care. Just share the show if you enjoyed it. And until next week, friends, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
Sergeant on the radio hollering at me, said, "Look out over here, to come a RPG." If I ever get home to Houston alive, I won't.